What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about the difference between forbearance, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Perhaps you've been in a situation where you're wondering if a person is taking advantage of you. I think that's like the modern English way we would say it. It's, I'm being mistreated, I'm being steamrolled, I am being walked all over. And in each of those phrases, as a Christian, we're wondering like, am I being too kind? And when I say take advantage, they're exploiting my kindness or my compassion. And in so doing, there's resources, there's time, there's relational equity, whatever those things are. So when we talk about forbearance, forgiveness, reconciliation, a friend of mine actually, who is a missionary overseas, he wrote in and he said, Greg, could you address this issue on Transform? So today I would like to address this issue of what does it mean to forbear? And when do we need to practice forgiveness and reconciliation? I'll be honest that there are times when I am in personal circumstances where it's at church or we're in a friend group, and I'll hear a husband snap at his wife, like get kind of lippy with her. And I see her just kind of like graciously bow out. And I'm like, I wonder what that's like in private, you know, if that's the way that happens in private. And I've been in circumstances as well where a wife gets really snippety and does the same toward her husband. And the husband just kind of shuts down and gets quiet. Not in a like a verbal abuse, like yelling and threatening type of things, but you know, like just not wanting to provoke. And each of those spouses, are they being forbearing to just get quiet and walk away? I mean, that's the real question. Like, is that godly of them to let their spouse treat them that way? Or is there an element of conflict resolution that should really come in? So if you don't have these categories, first of all, let's create some categories in your doctrine and your understanding of what the scripture says and then how that applies to your life. So first of all is the category of forbearance. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to turn with me. Let's go over to Colossians 3. And I want to show you something that is said to Christians. So remember, this is the church that Paul has never visited, but he has heard about them through a fellow ministry worker. He plans to see them. In fact, we think he does go see them, but he writes this letter to them in the Laodiceans. And at the beginning of chapter 3, if you've been raised with Christ, and they have, then seek the things that are above. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, so they are Christians. Verse 13, what are they called to do? Bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. That term bear with is actually different from the term forgiveness. And it literally means to regard with and tolerate, to endure with. You're going to like this last one. To put up with. You put up with one another in the body of Christ. And you're like, oh, Dr. Gifford, that's hard. And it's like, yeah, that it really is hard, honestly, when you're thinking of that person that just really kind of grates you. And it's not easy for you to see them in the passing, fleeting small 2 hours on a Sunday morning. You have an obligation in the body of Christ to bear with them. Ephesians 4:2, similar example, same term. You're going to see that Paul communicates with all humility and gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There it is. That is a different term, bearing with. It's different from forgiving. So we know we have a semantic range here. Forgiveness is not the same thing as bearing with. There is a difference. At least semantically, you can start there. Categorically, let's start there. You as a believer, you're called to bear with everybody, but in both of these contexts, it's primarily in the body of Christ. And you're seeing that this bearing with is toward other Christians for the sake of preserving the unity of the body of Christ. So someone is in conversation with you on Sunday, you ask about their week, and they do not ask about yours. And they do that every Sunday. And someone just comes and verbally dumps on you and then walks off and then never pauses to ask how you are, how are your kids? And you're thinking something like, sheesh, like I don't enjoy this a whole lot. What are you called to do? You're called to bear with them in the body of Christ. But that, as I'll clarify in our next segment, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're besties, like we're hanging out. You Brits out there will love this one, that we're not bosom buddies. Ugh, please don't call me a bosom buddy. Yeah, I mean, we may not be homies, but we're still bearing with one another, and we're doing that to preserve the unity of the body of Christ. So that is forbearance, bearing with one another in the body of Christ. But next, there is a different category, and there is a category of forgiveness. Forgiveness, even if you're in Ephesians 4, if you're still there, verse 2 says, with all humility and gentleness and patience, with patience, bearing with one another. That is a different term than what's used in verse 32, which is be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Remember Colossians 3:13, I just read that a second ago, that you're forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Different terms from bearing with one another. Jesus actually uses these terms whenever he is talking about the Lord's Prayer and the model Lord's Prayer. Give us this day, Matthew 6, verse 11, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. There it is, forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wait a minute. Hold the phone. When we talk about forgiveness, Jesus escalates the importance of forgiving others and suggests that your fellowship as a believer can be disrupted because of bitterness and resentment. Those are the negative, those are the lack of forgiveness. You are resentful and bitter. If you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. We know, not from this exact passage, but we know that you are eternally secure in Christ because of no work of your own. So justification comes by faith alone, in Christ alone. You do not work your way into the family of God. God adopts you into his family. And because that is true, a lack of forgiveness doesn't boot you out of the family. So you can't take that and transpose it into Matthew 6:11. Well, if I don't forgive others, I lose my salvation. That's not, you can't do that. You need to go read Romans 4 about justification, or you need to read Romans 8 about what can separate you from the love of God. You need to read John 10 about eternal security and how the good shepherd is not going to let you be snatched away. So each of those are confirming that idea. You're eternally secure, but your fellowship can be disrupted. So if you're unforgiving, your relationship with God isn't good. Can we just say it that way? If you're unforgiving, your relationship with God isn't good. But different category. Okay, this is still a different category. First category, forbearance. Second category, forgiveness. Forgiveness means in Matthew 6 to release from legal or moral obligation or consequence, to cancel, remit, or pardon. In Ephesians 4:32, it's to show oneself gracious by forgiving wrongdoing, to forgive or to pardon. That idea of canceling a debt, and if you're wondering where these definitions are coming from, this is BDAG. That is the Greek English lexicon of the New Testament. So easy lexical work here. Forgiveness is an action where you are forgiving the debts created by someone else. Forbearance is an attitude that you're willing to deal with, to put up with. A character trait of love is that it bears all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. You put up with others in the body of Christ. And oh, by the way, others put up with you. I am not always aware of it as I should be, but I am aware that I drive people crazy. And as much as I would love to think every relationship around me just truly appreciated me, I know I drive people crazy. There are certain people that I must get under their skin, and there are a few people that tell me I get under their skin. I know that, and what does that mean? That people have to bear with me in the body of Christ. So before we paint ourselves as this sacred saint of the New Testament, as the one that bears with all the lowlifes, remember that we need people to bear with us. That is forbearance. Forbearance is an attitude, and forgiveness is an action. And what will happen is, as you are working through, walking through your Christian life, debts are created. And those debts that are created, they require you addressing them. Otherwise, you will be unreconciled in that relationship. So Jesus, again in Matthew chapter 5, these are all coming from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about anger, and in the broader context of anger, he says, you need to deal with it quickly. If you're angry at your brother, you're liable to judgment. So Matthew 5:23, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Guys, you need to do your own Bible word study of this term for reconciliation. It's the one time in the New Testament that it's used. It means to be restored to normal relationships or harmony with someone. That's what it means. Reconciliation. Jesus says, if you know you have aught, and you're even at this point of worship, there is so much urgency to dealing with your anger that it's better to leave your gift at the altar than to have that unreconciled relationship. So leave your gift, then go be reconciled to your brother first. Now come back and finish your act of worship to the Lord. So let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'll describe the scale of forbearance all the way to reconciliation. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. But you know, there's a difference between caring and knowing how to care. That's why the Master's University exists. Okay, so I'll explain. In TMU, their biblical counseling program, where Dr. Gifford himself teaches, you don't just read about change, you learn how to walk with real people through sin and suffering with scripture in your hands. You'll study, you'll observe live counseling practice, you'll get sharpened, so you'll be ready for the midnight phone call when it happens. So if you're looking at what the next steps might be in your life, or you have a child who's looking toward the future, I firmly believe heavy consideration should be given to the Master's University. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/transformed. Heavy consideration should also be given to Fortis Plus. If you have not downloaded our app Fortis Plus yet, you are missing out. It's like a literal library in your pocket or on your smart TV. What you're not going to find with Fortis Plus is a paywall. No free trials, no credit card required, none of that. Just open it up and you're going to see new content every single day. We're adding to the already hundreds of hours that's currently there right now. And you're going to find conversations on theology, biblical manhood and biblical womanhood, biblical counseling like you're listening to right now from Dr. Greg Gifford, and so much more. You'll find it right there on Fortis Plus. Now, go to your app store on your cell phone, wherever it is that you download apps, and search Fortis Plus, or your smart TV. In your streaming store, you'll find Fortis Plus there as well. And again, it's absolutely free. And a quick word about how all of this remains free. We don't run ads. We don't hide content behind subscriptions, as I just talked about. What we have is a group of people called Gospel Partners. Those are supporters of Fortis Institute who decided, hey, I want someone that I'll likely never meet in my life to benefit from this content just like I have. If you're giving faithfully to your local church, because that's your first giving priority, and if you are giving faithfully there and you have a margin where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored if you would begin praying about what that would look like in your life. You can get more information about it right now at fortisinstitute.org. But again, make sure you're giving faithfully to your local church, because if you're not, don't give to this ministry. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Jimmy, thank you, sir, for your kindness. And of course, for plugging the great institution of the Master's University, where I am currently recording this. Guys, if you have students, nieces, nephews, kids, and you have high school ministry students, please send them out to a View the U weekend. They will love it so much. They get to sit in on the Intro to Biblical Counseling class. Honestly, I think it would be a great experience. And a lot of it can even be reimbursed by the college. There is a Transform scholarship that you can see on the school's website. So check those things out. Okay, now back to our topic for the day. Forbearance, forgiveness, reconciliation. I finished the last segment by saying reconciliation means that you have been restored to a normal relation or a place of harmony. We had a relational debt between us, and how did we get there? We had to practice forgiveness. So I'd like you to develop a scale in your mind, a scale, not in a weighted scale, but think of like 0 to 10. Every day I am called to forbear with others and they're called to forbear with me. And I say something kind of gruff or it wasn't the best way to say it. And someone else says, you know, I'm gonna put up with him because that's what the scripture calls me to do. But there are other times where I actually create a relational debt that needs to be addressed. Otherwise, we are not in a harmonious relationship and we're not in a normal relationship. That's where bitterness, resentment, and so forth begins to fester. So if you are consistently being sinned against, you have to ask yourself, am I just saying I'm forbearing with others or are you a peace faker? Do you know what a peace faker is? I've said this a couple times on Transformed and even on the TV series. Peace faking is where we just want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to get along. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want you to be upset. Peace faking. Peace faking is where I protect others from the consequences of their actions. This is the proverbial mother that's protecting dad, his anger, doesn't want other people to find out. And so she kind of hides how angry he truly is. That's a peace faking mom. A peace faker is a person who apologizes for things they didn't do wrong. And they go to confront someone, biblically so, and they leave confessing and apologizing for some perceived sin. A peace faker has a sense or a burden to hide drama from a watching world. So they don't want others to find out about what's happening at home. They don't want others to find out what's going on with their kid or in their kid's personal lives or marriage. And what can happen is a peace faker starts to worship peace over worshiping God. If you're hearing that and you know you have that propensity, then just hear this next statement very carefully. First of all, praise the Lord that you're not a divisive person. Praise the Lord. Your natural tendency in God's kindness is towards unity. That's a praise. I'm thankful your natural tendency isn't towards disunity and anarchy. Everywhere you go, you just want to disrupt it and blow things apart. So that is a praise, an inherent praise. But the liability that comes with that giftedness is that you are going to justify when people are sinning against you and you are going to say that you're being forbearing when you actually need to deal with the issue. So you're really a peace faker. And instead of being a peacemaker, you're going to create an environment where people don't trust each other. You're embittered and you feel hurt. So this is the real balance here. How do I know that I'm forbearing and how do I know that I'm a peacemaker? That's the central issue that dominates this whole continuum here. We all want to be forbearing, but how do I know that I'm getting walked all over and I'm a peace faker? How do I know that I'm letting other people take advantage of me? So I'm going to actually address that particular angle. And I know there are individuals out there listening to this podcast that they're not a peace faker. They're willing to have confrontation with anybody, any moment, anytime. You know, hey, lady, get your kid. He's driving me crazy. You know, it's the stranger in front of you at the grocery store. You'll confront the car that speeds too quickly through your neighborhood. Hey, bud, slow down. My kids are playing. Okay, there are those of you out there that like, you don't mind confronting. Like, in fact, you probably like it a little too much. You're not going to have this struggle. Those that tend towards peace faking, you're going to have the struggle of lumping it all in under this concept of forbearance. So how do I know I'm forbearing or how do I know I'm a peace faker? This is the central principle. What sin needs to be confronted? And what sin should I overlook and forbear with? Boom, that's it. What sin needs to be confronted and what should I bear with in others? I'm going to give you a couple of principles. These come from The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy, and I'm going to add a couple of attaches or addendums that I think would be helpful based off of counseling experience. Number one, the sin that needs to be confronted so you know that you're actually a peacemaker and not a peace faker is when that sin is causing long-term damage to your relationship. I've said this in multiple ways in conflict resolution conversations and even episodes, but when that person is continuing to sin against you in the same way, to the same degree, and the same frequency, we should have a conversation, and I should address that issue. Unkind words can be overlooked. Poor timing in communication can be overlooked. Self-centeredness can be overlooked, honestly. You know, you're leaving your home, and you realize your spouse parked really close to you, so now you have to move their car before you can get into your car. It's like, I can overlook that. I can bear with them. They're not trying to sabotage my life. You know, there's 1,000 expressions of how we could be forbearing. But when they continue to do the same thing to the same degree and same frequency, it starts to take a toll on our relationship. That's causing long-term damage. So I'm willing to say something when this sinful action is now causing long-term damage. Easier is when it's a safety issue. I've said this, Ken Sandy has said this. The safety issue is someone's on drugs, someone drinking and driving. We're not going to overlook that. We're not going to forbear with them. We're going to say, hey, that has to be confronted, and maybe we need to get the authorities involved in this. The last is, how do you know you need to confront is when this is causing public damage to the name of Christ. So you're connected to a friend who is now leading a party lifestyle. And you could technically say, well, I just want to bear with them and love them and be a good friend to them. But I think you also have to recognize that biblically they are claiming to be a Christian, but their lives don't match that. So you have an obligation to say something to them. And when you have a chance, read 1 Corinthians 5. That's what the Corinthians were doing. They were saying, we want to be loving towards this guy who's dating his stepmom. We're not going to say anything. And Paul says at the end of the chapter, no, you need to say something and you need to remove the leaven from the lump. So if you're seeing a person publicly damage the name of Christ, don't couch it in forbearance and love and say, I'm just going to love them and be their friend. No, there is an obligation to actually say something to them. So that's going to be the line, essentially. How do you know you're forbearing or you're a peace faker? Well, are they doing these things? And if they're doing these things and you're not saying anything, you're not forbearing, you're a peace faker. Like, let's just clarify in general, maybe there's an exception here or there, but in general, you're going to be a peace faker, not one who is forbearing when that person is causing long-term damage to the relationship. They're engaged in unsafe, maybe illegal activities, and they're causing public damage to the name of Christ. So here is the reconciliation continuum. When that has happened, we need forgiveness, and that will result in reconciliation. So when you go to someone and say, hey, you're causing the name of Christ to be dragged through the mud, like you can't date your stepmom, 1 Corinthians 5. When they say, too bad, I'm doing it anyways, which seems to be what was happening in 1 Corinthians 5, I'm not repentant, then the result is we are not reconciled. We still have a debt between us. Reconciliation, to go back to the term that Jesus used, reconciliation means we're restored to normal relationships or harmony. We are not restored to normal relationships if that person is unrepentant and forgiveness is not granted. So you can be kind and gracious to people you disagree with and people you're unreconciled with. You should be kind and gracious toward them, but it doesn't mean that you're right with them. In fact, there are some disagreements that are so strong that we just say, you know what? We are going to be peaceful toward each other, but we're also going to go our separate ways. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Barnabas over the John Mark disagreement. Do we bring them? Do we not bring them? They could not agree on that, so they went their separate ways. Euodia and Syntyche, Philippians 4. I urge these women to agree in the Lord. They're struggling to agree about whatever decision. We don't know what it was. There are times when you're going to be gracious and compassionate and unreconciled. I think Paul actually reconciled with Mark. He calls him valuable to his ministry later on. But for a season, at least the beginnings of the second missionary journey, Paul isn't reconciled to Mark and he doesn't want Barnabas to bring him. So you have an attitude of forbearing, a willingness to forgive whoever sins against you, but you're not relationally right until they have. So think of this continuum, think of this scale. Forbear with everybody. Listeners, forbear with everybody and inconveniences. Put up with others and they put up with you. And just recognize that in humility. When that sin has occurred, I'm not going to be a peace faker. I'm going to be a peacemaker, which means I need to practice biblical conflict resolution. When I do that, forgiveness is the cancellation of whatever debt they've created, the relinquishment of moral or legal obligation, and the result is we're reconciled. We're reconciled. Reconciliation is the result of forgiveness. And yet there are individuals, peoples, organizations that are not reconciled with each other, but they can live in peace. As a peacemaker, we can get all the way to the point of saying, I still disagree with them. They never sought forgiveness for what they did. But when I see them, I'm going to be gracious and I'm going to talk well about them. I'm not going to put them down. I'm going to do my best to love them as Christ loves me and as God loves me through Christ. But I'm not going to lie and say that it's all good and that everything is perfect in that regard. There is a small schism in our relationship or a large schism in our relationship. So let's be done for today. As you have questions on this concept, I would really like to drill into individual aspects, especially that of reconciliation. What does that mean? And how do we reconcile with people? How do we live and relate with people that aren't fully repentant? How do you do that? How can you navigate that? And that's where we will go in our next episode. So let me pray for us and we'll be done. Lord, it is really easy to talk about these principles and then to envision ourselves as the holy ones that have to do this towards others. But it's a little bit harder to think, I need people to forgive me. I need people to bear with me. And I need to own my sins so I can be reconciled with others. Lord, give us all a spirit of humility that we would be open to our own sins in ways that we need to grow, and that we really long for others to correct us in biblical ways. That your word says that if you rebuke a wise man, that he increases in wisdom. And Lord, all of us want to be wise individuals who fear you, love you, and walk like your son Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.